Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, that is not my opinion, Al. That is not.
I don't
my
need
opinion.
You to yell excitedly this morning.
I'm just excited to be here. I'm excited to be here with all you fine people. I'm in a good mood today. What can I say?
Why?
I don't know. Just some days you wake up on the right side of
you know,
the bed.
You know we are.
Oh, I know what it is.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You and I are very similar on two different topics.
Mm.
Dodgers will have a bad loss.
Yeah.
You're a little different in the morning.
Well, yeah, that's probably
Lakers
true.
Have a bad loss. Don't look at me.
You know, you're feeling it a certain way.
Don't look at me.
I think I cracked a code. You know what it is? You know why? I didn't do my Starbucks today. I hit Phil's on the way up today. You ever had a Phil's coffee?
Good coffee.
It's great coffee.
Stronger coffee.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. That might be why I'm feeling
okay, so. Okay, wait. So before you get on the road or on
I got
your
halfway
way
up here. There's not one down by my house. There's only one.
Halfway up here, no coffee?
Yeah.
From where you come up.
Uh-huh. And not half, maybe a third of the way. But yeah, about a good 20 miles.
Sounds.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. It was
a
great day. I'm ready to
coffee.
Go. The Lakers entered play. This is a tweet from ESPN Stats and Info. The Lakers entered play with a 230-0 record, including the playoffs,
yep,
when leading a game by at least 25 points in a game over the last 25 seasons. They led by 26.
What's the source
ESPN
again?
ESPN Stats and Info. Just those random guys that know everything.
Is there a check mark there?
There is not. So
there is a check mark on their Twitter page.
Is there?
So there is on the Twitter page.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, I'm throwing it out there. I just want to make sure that this is a reliable source.
They led by 26 last night, their largest blown lead over that span. So that's why I said it was the worst loss in a quarter century, because it had never happened in a quarter century. A 25-point lead that was given back. And it was far worse than just that. This does not mean the Lakers season is over. This does not mean that they're a bad team. This does not mean anything other than last night was a bleeping disaster,
mm-hmm,
because it was. They didn't just blow a 26-point lead. They blew a 26-point lead to a team that, by the time it's all said and done, might be the worst team in the league.
Something here or not. I want to play something from Jay Williams here real quick, all right? So Jay Williams, Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max doing their show in the morning. We know Lakers have a ton of veterans on this squad. We know the Lakers, part of the reason why we think they got a good chance of winning another championship is because the experience that they have. Take a listen here, Jay Williams talking about some of these younger players going up against Lakers and LeBron.
I've had some conversations over the last several days with some younger players in the league, which is kind of shocking to me because I never heard people say this about a LeBron James team, where they don't find the Lakers intimidating at all. People are actually excited about playing this team.
Well, I think, you know, right out the gate when I hear that, the league is different. So let's not pretend that this league right now, just kind of the way it's all set up, is every single night you're going to have guys that are running. The way the NBA is played is different than it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Up and down, quick, get as many shots off as you can. That's advantageous to today's NBA.
Yes.
So that could be less advantageous to a team like the Lakers who, you know, listen, Wayne Ellington hasn't played a game yet. That's supposed to be one of the guys that can shoot threes, one of the guys that they brought in. THT is 20
Young,
years old.
Spry.
Okay, he's athletic. The guy that you're going to say they want to run up and down, THT is going to run with him. Kendrick Nunn, another young player for the Lakers that we haven't got a chance to see yet.
Mm-hmm.
So both of these guys, maybe we'll see them within the next 4 weeks, something along those lines. So if the league is now going as young as they are, Jay Williams is saying that these young players are not concerned about playing the Lakers. OKC and the San Antonio Spurs would be a good example of that.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm going to read you a tweet from Eric Herrera, who is a regular of ours, because I think it's funny and I think that he might be onto something. The Lakers are built for the playoffs. The 2014 playoffs, okay? The idea of, yeah, they
delete that.
They have a
mute
bunch
him.
Of names.
Block him.
I don't block. I'm liberally.
You're a big muter.
I liberally
yeah.
use the mute feature on Twitter. I'm a big fan of that. So if you think I'm not seeing it, I'm probably not. Just letting you know.
Send them to me and I'll print them out. I'll print them out at the end of the Travis.
In the morning, here's your morning reading.
Hey, Trav, this dude had three different tweets he really wanted you to see.
You could be my guest. That's pretty great.
I'm going to put your cell on Twitter. Yeah, just text him.
Trav directly. Here's his number.
Screenshot.
Like, look, there may be something there. There may be something to the intimidation factor or lack thereof. There may be something to the
way
that...
You give them something to be intimidated about.
You know who they're not intimidated of? And not because he's not a great player, not because he doesn't compete most night, but Anthony Davis does not... It's not, oh, I have to deal with that tonight. Sometimes it is, but not every night. Last night, I know Russell Westbrook had the 10 turnovers. I know he had the brick towards the end. I know that Malik Monk had the air ball. I know that Carmelo had the air ball. I know that the entire team played poorly defensively. I get it.
No, but last night's one of those nights. You want Anthony Davis, few minutes left to go. Guys, enough of this BS. Give me the damn ball. Quit screwing around.
Take over.
And, oh, by the way, funnel every dude right into me in the center. I'll handle business on
take
the defensive
over.
Side. In the timeouts, you want to see him there with Coach Vogel. Stop this hole. We're going to have Malik Monk with the ball at the top. The key, give me the damn ball and let's finish this game. Let's get back to Staples Center 3-2. Let's get LeBron back on Friday against the Cleveland Cavaliers and let's start kind of changing the narrative. That didn't happen
yesterday.
And
that's not what happened. That we went through the last 4 or 5 minutes of clock time, not even just basketball time, where he was
both teams
absent.
Missing AD on the perimeter.
He's absent. Mm-hmm. There's no one else in that building that within 100 miles of his talent.
Got a question for you. 30 days from now, what's this team look like?
They'll be better. They'll be better.
60 days from now.
They'll be better.
Better than the 30 days?
Who knows? I don't know that. I don't know if – so if we're saying they're 10% better in 30 days, I don't know if they're 20% better in 60 days. What I know – they can't be worse than they've been, so they have to get better. It will not stay like this. They have too many good players to stay like this. But I do think that what we've seen through 5 games leads you to believe that there may be some stuff that is problematic. Not fatal, but problematic. Things that need to be addressed. And arguably, one of the biggest ones for me is Anthony Davis's inability to deliver a Anthony Davis performance against a team like that. That game happens way too often. It should happen maybe once or twice a season, not once or twice a
month. You said something earlier that I think is important because you said this isn't on one player.
No.
The Lakers as a whole, so far through 5 games, I can sit here and everybody, the coaching staff as well, I can sit here and kind of critique every single individual and say they could have done this, that person could have done that. Collectively, that 2-3 record, the 2-3 record that they have, probably doesn't actually even tell the full story. Remember when yesterday we were talking about this, that they could easily be 0-4? Okay, but give them credit. They won a couple games, came back and won, held off the Memphis Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. We're trying to give them as much credit as possible, but they've also kind of put themselves in a position where you can dissect what they've done so far, and certainly not that many positives coming from it.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We're going to take some calls here in 10 seconds. I just want to throw this in there, too.
Yep.
I think if there is a silver lining from last night, and this I'm stretching here. I'm trying to find
one. I got one.
For me, the silver lining was no one pretended it wasn't a catastrophe. None of the players, the coach, it didn't feel like it was, guys, this happens in the NBA every once in a while. Every once in a while, something weird. Like, there was none of that. Everybody was saying, this is a mess. This is something that can't happen. This is something that never needs to happen again. I appreciated that.
All right, let's do this. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. If you want to react to Lakers, not just yesterday, but through the first 5 games of the regular season, your thoughts on that. Let's start off with, let's go to Noah in Studio City. Noah, what's going on? Appreciate you calling in.
Hey, guys. Appreciate being here. You know, you guys probably save a lot of marriages because I don't think my wife can handle me screaming at the TV anymore.
Put her on the phone. Put her on the phone, Noah. We're ready to talk to her.
I may take you up on that at some point. Oh, God. You guys cover so much. You're both so smart and intuitive.
I agree.
Blow smoke. I thought you might. but I'll try to get an angle in here. You know, when in the post game, you know, I saw Russ and AD, you know, going, you know, well, you know, we just got to learn from this. You know, got to move on. You know, can't let teams off the hook. I'm like, what are they going to learn? What did they not know going into this that they now understand?
Mm-hmm.
That you can't let bad teams off the hook when you're killing them, that you have to play defense. that's, I just didn't feel like they're giving lip service because they aren't really ready, or at least not publicly, to answer the real questions, which are, look, we all know how talented AD is, and we can't avoid this anymore, that it's between his ears is where the issue is. And until he decides, hey, I don't want to be that dude anymore, I want to be this dude, and he needs to figure out why he's not, it's not going to change. He's going to have moments where that shows up, but like, for like, can you imagine Magic?
Well, I think you bring up a really good point, Noah. Thanks for the call and thanks for the nice words, sincerely. Your point, dude, they learn the lesson of, hey, you need to take every game seriously. You need to take every opponent seriously. I would be more willing to listen to that as a possible explanation as to what happened last night. This is not a young team. This is not a bunch of kids that are just in their first or second year in the NBA who are getting their first little taste of success and thinking that their you-know-what doesn't stink and we're just going to go out there and we'll just roll the balls out. My jersey says Lakers, we're going to win. These guys are all vets. Look at that roster. These guys have been around this league for a long time. Anthony Davis is a vet. Melo is a vet. Dwight's a vet. DJ's a vet. There is no learning curve when it comes to that stuff. There's a learning curve when it comes to how the pieces fit together. But there's no learning curve on, hey, we got to take every game seriously. These guys have all been around the block 100 times.
All right, let's go to another call here. Let's go. Man, we got a lot here. I'm trying to figure, of all the topics, because everybody's all over the place with what they want to provide here. Let's go to Pedro in Inglewood. Pedro, thanks for calling in, bud. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Siwa? I actually called your show when it was just you without Travis a year ago.
It was a
never
lot,
heard of
yeah,
it.
A lot better that way, but you know, yeah, you gotta. We
anyways,
have to.
anyways, I called you last year because you were arguing that Anthony Davis was just a way better player than Giannis, and you would take Anthony Davis over Giannis 10 out of 10 times. I just want to know, how do you feel about that now?
Well, listen, I'll be as straight as possible. It's completely flipped. And let me tell you why it's flipped. The reason why I'm making an argument last year, Trav, he's a two-way player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the reasons why Anthony Davis spends so much time on the perimeter, why does he do that? Trav, why does he spend so much time on the perimeter? Because he's a skilled player that can do things that Giannis can't do.
That's one reason.
Giannis demolishes people down low because he's not confident. He doesn't have a 15-foot jumper. He doesn't have an 18-foot jumper.
Not like Anthony Davis does.
But this is what's changed. What's changed is Giannis has become one of those players in the NBA now. Whatever it takes, I don't care what my game – does my game look good? Does it not? Whatever it takes to win, I'm going to win. He is the head of the snake for the Milwaukee Bucks. He's got good help, right? Middleton's a nice player, Jrue Holiday's.
Sure.
AD can – I don't want to say hide because that's not the right word.
I agree.
He's behind LeBron James.
Sure.
AD is not the franchise player of the Lakers.
No.
As in he's not yet, right? That's going to eventually happen. I think that narrative has changed. And also there is the availability that has something to do with it as well. There is the playoff run that Giannis just had. I mean, all that kind of comes into play.
Look, Giannis is the right choice at this point. I'm not going to defend you, but you can have an opinion a year ago and change that opinion based on new information. That's not being wrong. That's just getting more information and saying, oh, yeah, this is clear that this is a better choice than that one. Anthony Davis is a great player. Giannis is a great player. But Giannis's performances are far more consistent than Anthony Davis's. We just don't get that. Hey, where was Giannis?
Skill set, it's different.
Anthony Davis is a more skilled player. But if you're just telling me, hey, you're going to go play the next couple of seasons, I'm taking Giannis.
Let me say this about AD real quick. This is his next step in his evolution.
He's been in the league 10 years.
Okay, but even in those 10 years, you could be a certain type of player. Then you come on a team where this is LeBron James' team until it's not LeBron James' team.
Agree.
His next evolution, and you could feel confident about this or not confident about it, either he's going to become that player that also is, get on my back. Enough of this, okay, you want to take a three, you want to do this. Fellas, we're going to play defense together or we're going to fall flat on our face. I don't know if that leadership on a night-in, night-out basis, because you see it with LeBron, you see it with Kobe, you see it with Magic.
You saw it with Magic at 19. You saw it with LeBron at 19. You saw it with Kobe Bryant at 19. He's 10 years in.
You could be right. Maybe that's not – I want to play something here from Anthony Davis. So I think Taylor just put this on here.
Let's do this. Let's play it right now, and then we'll come back. Here's AD.
This ain't no adjustment period at all. Not this game. That's just straight on us. It's not. No. Other games possible, but this isn't an adjustment game where, I feel like it's, we're still learning each other. We're still.
All right, we're going to come back. I'm going to need you to translate that for me so I can understand what
Take more of your
said.
Phone calls as well.
And we got more phone calls as well. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Brutal feels about right. Not terminal, not the end of the line. There's 77 regular season games left. You got a long way to go, a lot of time to improve, but it's really hard to look at what you saw last night, Slee, and not feel like, what in the world happened? That was a disaster.
So that clip that we played here a second ago, I'm going to kind of...
Charlie Brown's teacher?
Yes, yes. AD said... Read this off exactly. There's a learning curve when it comes to how the pieces fit together, but there's no learning curve on, hey, we got to take every game seriously. Basically what Anthony Davis is saying, for all this talk about, hey, it's going to take time, it's going to take time, last night's game it's not in that category. They screwed up. They know they screwed up. He was genuine about the loss, but with all that being said, it's not going to obviously bring that game back.
Sure.
How they react to it and what they do from here.
The thing about AD that I really like is when he has a game like last night.
Oh, he's going to be honest.
He owns it.
100%.
He doesn't try to run from it. He doesn't try to hide from it. I'm kind of projecting here a little bit, but on the flight back to Los Angeles last night, I bet you more than one time the thought went through his head, like, why in the world didn't I just demand the ball? Why didn't I just be myself? Why didn't I just, I'm the best player in the building. Why didn't I do that? That he owns it. He's a very self-aware guy who happens to be a fantastic player,
yeah.
Who happens to have way too many moments where you're like, dude, what are you waiting for? It's this very odd combination of personality traits. Let's try another one here. Let's go to George in L.A. George, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. What's up, George?
Hey, good morning, guys. This is my thought. I thought it was a coaching mistake on the part of Frank Vogel. I think going into the game, he should have basically prepped the team saying, hey, I know they're a last-place team. These games are easy to fall into a trap of letting your guard down. And you could tell that it was mental fatigue playing a team that's 0-4. And you see these young guys running around. And these guys were playing like they were tired. And it was more of a mental thing. That's why the air balls, they couldn't shoot from their legs. The rotations, I had problems with Vogel's rotation. I like that Reeves kid a lot, but I kind of think when you're talking about, when the game's on the line, you can't have Austin Reeves in there. You got to have Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley was making – he's shooting at a very high percentage from three-point, and that's what we needed in this game to catch up in the game is three-point. We didn't have that.
The catch up, they were ahead by 26 points.
Yeah, that's the problem. George, that's the problem with the argument.
I mean,
is...
I hear you, George. There's a couple of things. Number one, they weren't trying to catch up. They blew a 26-point lead. Okay, so this isn't, hey, let's catch them. They fell behind at the very end. I understand what you mean, but that's not what this was. Also, if what you're saying is right, George, I'm not saying you're wrong, but what I'm saying, if what you're saying is correct, that this was mental fatigue and physical fatigue and not having their legs under them to shoot jump, we got a big problem. If that's true, and I don't think it is, but first of all, you can't be mentally fatigued after four games. You can't be physically fatigued after four games. These guys are NBA basketball players. Again, this goes back to what we were talking about a second ago, mm-hmm. Slee. These are all guys that have been around the block a million times. There's no kid, other than Reeves, there's nobody out there that has got big eyes and this is brand new for.
You know who else is 2-3 in the NBA right now? The Brooklyn Nets. Mm-hmm. Look at the Lakers and the Nets both coming out to 2-3 starts.
I mean, obviously Kyrie, that has a lot to do
actually,
with Brooklyn.
Actually, there's a James Harden part of this that's very interesting.
Well, they changed the rules.
Changed the rules.
Yeah.
Changed the rules. And it's having an effect. You know, he's averaging 3 free throws a game. 3 free throws a game. That's James Harden.
Thank goodness.
So, the product Thank was goodness. Awful under that
it was
circumstance.
Hard to watch.
Question for you. What'd you think of the final play of the game, Russ getting thrown out?
I thought that Russ overreacted to something that wasn't a big deal at all. Let's set this up. Oklahoma City had come back from 26 points behind.
Yep.
For a team that is probably going to win, what, somewhere between 15 and 20 games? Somewhere in there. That feels about right. Maybe it's a little less. Maybe it's a little more. They're not good. They're not going to the playoffs. It's probably going to be their biggest win of the season.
Sure.
And they're young and they're inexperienced. They're the exact opposite of what we just said for the Lakers. And they won the game after being down 26. There was a bad pass. He steps in front of it and goes down and dunks the ball. Darius Bazley we're talking about. And Russ didn't like that he went and finished with the dunk. Because once he intercepted the ball, for all intents and purposes, the game was over. The game was probably over even before the play. He's young. He's inexperienced. He's excited. He went and dunked it. There was no turning around, grabbing your crotch or slitting your throat or any of this stuff at the Laker bench. He was just fired up. He's a young kid who made an enthusiastic play and dunked the ball in a moment. And Russ overreacted because he was angry that the Lakers had blown
That's
a game
the key
like
right
that.
There. By the way, you know, there's the unwritten rules. Baseball is, you know.
And they're almost always dumb.
And they're usually mostly in baseball.
Yes.
Right? Baseball is.
Well, baseball's got more dumb stuff than just about anybody else.
Hurry the hell up. You just hit 425-foot blast.
Don't go too fast.
Don't go too fast either. You better.
That's my favorite unwritten rule of
baseball. I swear if you admire it, and damn it, if the bat accidentally flips over, we got an issue.
Thankfully, we've gotten away from a lot of, but my favorite thing ever is you can get a fastball in your ribs if you run the bases too slow. But you can also get one if you run it too fast. There's like this little sweet spot where you have to stay
in. Figure it out.
That's a little slow. Fastball in the
ribs. Maybe what you should do, you should be a little more considerate and ask the pitcher what he would prefer prior
Fast
to the
slow.
Pitch coming. Okay, that's number one. But we're looking back at that Russ thing yesterday.
Yeah.
I get where Russ is coming from.
He's upset.
Russ is coming from the, and he had mentioned it yesterday too, that it's kind of an old school mentality of the game. I get where he's coming from in the sense of, you guys are up 6 already, or 5, or whatever it was. The game's over. Do you really dribble the ball out? Just dribble the ball out and call it a game. Mama, play it on the other side. You set it up perfectly. They're excited. They're this, they're that, all that stuff. You're upset because you lost by 26, that this is in front of Oklahoma City fans who love and admire you and everything else. You're upset that you were embarrassed on a basketball floor, not you personally, but just your entire team, right? The entire squad was. I think it had more to do with that than the guy trying to run up the score. And I think you also set it up. It's not like he was out there. You know, Jay Crowder was doing things at the end of that Lakers game.
It was none of that.
Devin Booker was pointing his finger. It literally had nothing to do with that. And even when Russ went after him, he wasn't even paying attention to him. He's like, I'm just trying to.
He was just running around.
Are we
beat the Lakers.
Are they inbounding the ball again? Are they?
Maybe I can get another one. I don't know if anybody in the whole building was upset about it other than Russell Westbrook. He seemed to be whether watching the postgame show on TV, that Robert Horry and James Worthy seemed to be okay with it. I don't know that any of the other Lakers seemed to have too big of a problem with it. It wasn't a in-your-face blank you moment. It was a, I can't believe we just won this game and I'm fired up. There's a massive difference between those two things. All right. So that's what happened last night. The problem is LeBron James hasn't played in these last couple of games.
Yeah.
And I thought that the reason you went out and got all these other vets, that the reason you had Russell Westbrook, that Anthony Davis was ready to step into
these
roles.
Give him a
couple
nights off.
That just, let's see, look, that bothered you a little bit? Yeah, a little bit. Why don't we take a night off? And it's just not happening, Slee. It's just not happening. This is a team that should not be scraping by without LeBron James. And like you said earlier, LeBron was there for Memphis. LeBron was there for Phoenix. LeBron was there for the Golden State Warriors. They just have not had even a small fraction of basketball that's looked the way we had expected
it
to.
I'm going to go back to something I said earlier, that I'm glad the Lakers lost yesterday. I really am. Like, I'd hate for them to be able to kind of walk through the back door, keep their hands up, and say, hey, nothing to see here, everybody. We walked away with a win. All is good. We're 3-2. They did that against the San Antonio Spurs. They were able to kind of sneak out the back door and say, hey, we got an overtime win, right? Hey, look at us. We battled. We were down 12 in the fourth quarter. I thought yesterday, and this is going to be the key thing moving forward for the Lake Show. How do you respond? What are they going to do against Cleveland? What's going to happen over these next 10 games, 15 games, 20 games? But what we have watched so far, I can't sit here and say it honestly to any Laker fan listening is, do you remember that stretch of really good basketball so far this year? I don't – maybe there's a moment or two, but there isn't, hey, that half was fantastic. I don't think we've seen that.
Yeah, you said something there that really just kind of made my eyes pop open that, you know, the early part of the season is, can they bounce back and be resilient? It's like, well, that was never part of the plan. Like, the part of the plan was
– they don't have a choice.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. You're 100% right. But the plan I thought was, hey, let's figure out how these pieces fit together to go win a championship while we win most of these games anyway.
Yeah.
And then we find a way to beat the very best teams in the league. This is, how do we find a way to win some games? That's a very different issue early in the season.
One positive note, too, another silver lining, Clippers are 1-3. So I think sometimes – you have to take a step back.
The Sleaze
and
special.
You really have to soak that portion in the NBA standings.
Travis Sleaze brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Little
if
factor
we go
cap.
Down, they come down with us. That's, yeah, that's all I'm trying to say.
You're the guy that if you're on the side of the lifeboat, you're pulling, yes, the guy in the boat over the edge,
yeah,
with
we're
you
all
as
going
well.
Over,
I like,
yes,
it.
We're
I
all
like
going
it.
Over.
Little factor cap, a little dining out edition of factor cap.
Okay.
That's coming up next. Travis Sleaze, 710 ESPN. You know what was great about that? I went on Twitter immediately after you asked your question about Costco and bags, and somebody on Twitter was calling you an eco-terrorist. See what you get with your plastic bags, Lee?
They could be paper bags.
Well,
they have to be plastic bags.
You still got to make the paper bags out of a tree, you know. How dare you?
Have you guys ever been to Aldi? They do the same thing.
I have not been to Aldi.
I've seen Aldi. I have not been in.
Budget for a while, but
I have not been in. Trav only does high-end, super, super boutique grocery stores.
Uh-huh, like Albertson's.
that's but Aldi's the same spot. Thing. You have to have
He walks
own,
into Albertson's with his nose up. Like,
direct me to your finest Dolly Madison sweets. That's
where is the sushi?
By the way, don't sleep on Albertson's sushi. I'm just it's a twice
no,
a week hit
grocery
for me.
Stores are they're doing their thing with the
There's
sushi.
There's the lady right behind the counter. I see her making it fresh every
yep.
day. It is a solid stop in my rotation at the Albertson's sushi store. Little factor cap.
It is a cap. It 100% is a cap. What's up, Emily?
So, here's some news from out of Oakland. The city of Oakland approved a plan for a multi-billion-dollar waterfront stadium that would house the A's if they choose to stay in Oakland. So my statement is, waterfront stadiums are superior stadiums. Alan, is this factor cap?
Okay, so put it this way. If you're building a new stadium
mm-hmm.
and you're coastal,
mm-hmm.
throw it over by the water. If it's historic, like Dodger Stadium is, and it just already has – it's not like the Dodgers are building a new stadium and they decided to put it right there.
You put it in Long Beach Harbor.
It's historic.
Right.
I think there's something about – and I use just two examples. Let's stay in the NL West. Petco Park's pretty damn beautiful.
Okay. Make sure you erase this immediately after I say it. It's the best ballpark in Major League Baseball.
Okay. The Giants and theirs – what is theirs? Is it AT&T?
Yes.
Okay, AT&T Park. Pretty damn cool. Somebody hits home run,
yeah.
And you got people in there basically kayaking to go get the ball.
Yeah.
It makes for such an enjoyable experience on TV, but actually going to the game, and again, we'll go back to Petco. There are areas you can go sit, and they got a lot of these local breweries that are brewing
sure.
good beer, right?
Yeah.
There are areas you sit at Petco Park where your squad is playing behind you, and there you are drinking a beer, taking a look at the Coronado Bridge and all the water right in front of you.
It's a really good spot.
If you can do it, and again, if it's a new stadium, let's use the A's as an example here, put it next to the water.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do if you can do it. I've just been hearing about the A's and a waterfront stadium at Jack London Square in Oakland
yeah.
for the time I was 6 years old. It's like, come on, just move to Vegas. I would hate to see him leave because I love the A's in Oakland. I think that the A's are a fun team to watch. They don't have any money.
Just lost the
they're
Raiders.
Competitive. Oakland is a big town.
Yeah.
It deserves a baseball. All of
yeah.
that stuff. But I've been hearing that they're leaving for 30 years. Either leave or don't. Let's
you know the problem
on.
Is? Promised Vegas is going to say, okay, wait, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
You're building what
They'll
over there?
Build a lake.
We will build we will connect the Pacific Ocean. We will find a way to do
They're building the moon in Vegas. You're going to do something.
We'll build a canal. We got the California Aqueduct that goes from north to south. Hoover Dam. We'll reroute it. There you go.
Throw it all in there.
Why not?
All right, so this next one comes from a conversation that I overheard yesterday. So I was at practice. My co-coach was chatting up with another coach, and all they were talking about was how they got to practice, like the roads they took to get to practice.
Interesting. I'm listening. Tell me more.
So before I came here,
what road did they take, and where exactly were you guys located?
What was the weather like? Oh, were there any SIG alerts?
Send me the screenshot of Waze. I'm curious if you could text your coach.
So I, before I moved to California, I knew about California through the SNL sketch, The Californians.
What are you doing, Stuart?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So that's what I thought about, but I didn't realize that it was actually true. So people in LA only make small talk about what roads they're taking to get somewhere. Travis, is this fact or cap?
Well, let's just say that as I was driving home yesterday, I called my dad, and he and I were just chit-chatting a little bit, and he said something like, I heard it took you a long time to get to work. He heard us talk about it. I spent a good 15 minutes recapping.
I don't know if that's enough time.
The variety of roads. Well, Dad, usually I take the 405, north and kind of come around 110. I head into downtown. It's more lanes. There's fewer trucks. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit longer of a drive, but it's a little bit easier of a drive. But yesterday I got a little bit of a late start, so I decided to go up 5. Mm. There was an accident
Talk to me, buddy. I'm listening.
There was an accident right by Artesia Boulevard. It's only down to 3 lanes. Now we're down to 1 lane. So I had to get off. I had to go around beach, get back on the 91. We did and he's like, yeah. Like, he was into it.
Why wouldn't he be into it?
This is a California thing, but you may be right, Emily. It probably is a fact that it's the only thing we talk about because it's terribly important.
Okay.
We need to know alternate routes.
So
at
the
all
question
times.
The question was, is it small talk? And you said fact, right?
Yes.
It's cap. It's not small talk. It's larger than small talk.
Vital talk.
It's a large conversation. 15 minutes is not small talk. That's a lot of time. You know what I mean? We spent a certain amount of time talking about Lakers basketball. That's a long conversation. We're having a long conversation.
No, you're right.
Unfortunately, it is the conversation. You know, when somebody says,
spend all this time in our cars. We need to know how to move around.
When somebody says, yeah, I got to drive out to LAX.
Ooh, how you going? When are you leaving?
I got eight questions lined up before they get even further.
How many people in the car? You get the carpool lane or no? You got to sit in the non-carpool lane?
What's the terminal? Are you doing Southwest? Okay, let me say this. I've done Southwest before.
Stay on the
left lane.
Number 7 is United. You come in, you can go straight from 1 to 7. You don't have to go all the way around the horn.
Do you guys know that there's like navigation apps? Like, that's literally all I use. This has gone way over my head.
I do navigation all day long.
So do I. Yeah. But the navigation app, more often than not, is just going to give you the shortest distance. Sometimes they got some live traffic and things. But
feel like you're smarter than the navigation app?
I oftentimes am.
Yeah.
Because if you get off.
No, you're not.
No, I am.
No, you're not.
Sleep. If I see that right up here is an accident, but I can get on this freeway on ramp, but I know it goes through and no one's going through because they don't know it goes through and you can just re-enter the freeway half a mile down the road.
I have a feeling.
The navigation apps don't know that.
This is how I look at the navigation apps. If I go against them, like if they say, hey, this is the route you're going to take, and I say, no, I'm not going to go that way, the app will be deleted. It will just be off of my phone.
They're listening. They're watching.
I am not going against Waze.
Emily buried the lead on this question, by the way.
Don't point at her.
She said that she was at practice, and we were talking this morning about it, and I said, so how many kids do you have in your water polo class?
Yep.
And we said the other day they're 10 to 12, correct?
Yep.
10 to 12 age. That's their age. She has 20 10 to 12-year-olds under her command by herself.
In water.
In the pool. That is insane to me.
Hey, I'm a commanding person.
That's an aggressive
swing. I do my TikTok
swing.
Dances for them. It's great. And they pay attention to me.
Perfect.
All right, next one. So this is a quote from Jack Del Rio, who is the defensive coordinator for Washington football team. So he said, I'm going to channel Mike Tomlin. Well, when asked about the USC job, he said, I'm going to channel some Mike Tomlin right now. Did he shut it down or what? Mike's a beauty. I feel really good about being a defensive coordinator in the NFL, and I like my job. So, is he lying? Travis, is this fact or cap?
Fact. Because what did we talk about with Mike Tomlin the other day? Hey, Mike Tomlin, you're going to be the SC coach? I don't know how many times I have to say this. Never say never, but never. That's a joke to me. No one has enough money to hire me. I have one of the best jobs. Anyone I want to ask Andy Reid about that or Sean Payton about that, I'm done. I am not leaving. Never say never, but never. Jack Del Rio said, hey, how about that Coach Tomlin? How about Coach Tomlin over there? You guys see what Coach Tomlin said? Nah, man, I'm cool. Of course he's lying. Of course he is.
Some people know how to sell things. Other people don't. Some people have. Mike Tomlin sold you on, if you even bring up that question again, we're going to have an issue. And, oh, by the way, let me throw out a couple other NFL coaches that are not getting the same question. I mean, you walked away saying, guys, I think strategically as a group of journalists here, we will not ask Mike Tomlin that question again. Everybody in agreement? Yes. I think some of these other coaches, they have danced around it, and they've danced around it for reasons. Tomlin ain't going anywhere. It's a different one. One, you got a defensive coordinator. This one, you got one of the most established organizations in all of sports, which you said three coaches, head coaches in how many years?
Like 50.
It's
literally
an honor to
Chuck
be.
Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin,
and
since
this
the 70s.
And this isn't discrediting the USC job. You got a program that A is in college, B is an NFL gig that three coaches have had over X amount of years. It's one of the most prestigious NFL franchises. This ain't a chat.
And
with
Jack
Tomlin.
Del Rio's name comes up every time that job comes open. Mm-hmm. Jack Del Rio is a former USC linebacker. He's a former USC catcher. It's one of my favorite things. He caught Randy Johnson in college.
Really?
So, yeah, he was the catcher on the baseball team when Randy Johnson was pitching there. And by the way, it's not a bad choice. I don't know if it's the number one choice, but it's not a bad choice. He's got ties to the community. He's got ties to the university. He's been a head coach at high-level places, the Raiders, the Jacksonville Jags.
Can he bring people in?
Yeah, I think he probably could. Look, he wouldn't be my first choice, but if
a 17-year-old, 16-year-old, 18-year-old sitting there and saying, I like what this guy is selling.
Yeah, I think he could. Now you got to get the right assistance and all this, but put it to you this way. If they held a press conference tomorrow and said, we're announcing Jack Del Rio as the head coach, I'm listening. It's not an automatic what the hell are you guys doing the way that some of those other names were.
Yeah.
All right, one more, really quick. You enjoy going to chain restaurants when you're traveling. Alan, is this fact or cap?
I don't enjoy going to chain restaurants when I'm not traveling. So I don't think it's going to help when I am traveling. Like if I, you know, we mentioned this. I've gone to a couple different places. Mm-hmm. I'm going international. I'm not going to Carl's Jr. when I'm in Turkey. Okay. I'm not hitting up KFC at Istanbul.
I got a lot of questions. Is there a Carl's Jr. in
Turkey? There's a KFC.
Yeah, KFC's everywhere.
There's a KFC.
McDonald's is everywhere.
I remember rounding a corner. Here you are in the heart of Istanbul. Walking and
finger licking
these unbelievable restaurants and this, and here's the waterfront here. That side is the Asian side. You're on the European side. All this historic, oh my gosh, unbelievable. And here I am rounding a corner and there's KFC. And you know the worst part about it?
You thought about it?
Packed. Packed house.
So would that be the equivalent of like...
It was a sold-out Staples Center.
If you went somewhere here and found like a Turkish restaurant, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, let's go get that. Are they like, oh, look, it's KFC from America. Try the American restaurant. Maybe that's what it is.
Bro, it could be.
Yeah.
But even that, you know, I'm not a, you know... I'm not searching for chain restaurants. Let's put it out of that way.
No, I think that's cap as well. If I'm traveling, I want to eat what the locals are eating.
Yeah.
I want to eat in the place. And you travel far more often internationally than I do. I had a handful of experiences, but not many. But even if you're going to Chicago. I did go to Russia. It was awesome.
That's amazing.
If you're in Chicago or New York or New Orleans, I don't need to go. I want to go do something local in these places.
How about The Office when he's in New York?
It's Esbaro. Yeah, they're my favorite local pizza place.
One of the most authentic places. Nothing says New York pizza. It goes Esbaro.
Oh. Pretty great. Pretty great. All right. Andrew Friedman spoke yesterday talking about the Dodgers season, and some of the questions that were asked of Dave Roberts were asked to Andrew Friedman.
Some answers.
I'm not going to lie, Slee.
A little surprised. A
couple of them really caught me by surprise. Yeah. That's next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So the Lakers have kind of been the main focus today. That'll happen, Slee, when you blow a 26-point lead to a team that's not expected to win a whole bunch of games. But Andrew Friedman spoke yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of things going on. I talked about the offense and why it was having a little trouble finding traction over the last month or so of the season. He talked a little bit about Trevor Bauer. He talked a little bit about Clayton Kershaw, and we'll get to some of that. But I want to start with this because – I thought this was really interesting when we were talking about the Julio Urías's usage was the topic of the postseason, other than their inability to hit, which was, for me at least, the headline. Urías pitched four times in 13 days in three different roles, and one of those roles was when he came in Game 2 of the NLCS against the Braves to pitch the eighth inning and did not pitch well and got hit around, and then he started Game 4 a couple of days later and did not pitch well again. He got hit hard all over again. He was asked about those decisions. Again, Andrew Friedman, and this was his response.
And then the game, too, I totally get both sides of the argument. Again, it gets back to the things that are, kind of in that middle. But that one I totally get the question to. I think, it's obviously a better question for Doc and Mark. Certainly get both sides.
It's obviously a better question for Doc and Mark. Now, he said at the beginning of the there were some other questions about the rotations and things like that. And he said, basically, look, everybody thinks I'm making these decisions. I'm not. These are decisions that are left up to the coaching staff and to the manager in the moment that we certainly talk and prepare, but
a lot of the preparation. But once the game starts, he almost has to just become a fan, a spectator, right? Like everybody else.
It's out of his control.
It's out of his control. 3 hours into a game, you have a feel for certain things that are going on. A manager and the pitching coach should make those determinations. Nobody's texting Dave Roberts and saying, hey,
put Julio in.
Julio's got to come in right now.
Right.
Manage that. That's not happening.
I was leading the charge with saying that some of these weird decisions in game were not Dave's decisions, that these were made collectively before the game, that, hey, in the event that we're ahead by X amount of runs and this part of the lineup is coming up, let's bring in Julio. I still think that there's probably a lot of truth to that. But when you hear what he said, those are questions better asked of Dave or of Doc and of Mark Pryor, the pitching coach. I was really struck by that. I was really struck by the, hey, look, because what I heard, and he wasn't accusing anybody. He wasn't throwing bombs. It wasn't his tone wasn't elevated. It was none of these things, but it was just
here's how it works.
What I heard was, yeah, that didn't make any sense to me either. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard. I want to play it again because tell me if that doesn't hit you the same way.
And then the game, too, I totally get both sides of the argument. Again, it gets back to the things that are, kind of in that middle. But that one I totally get the question to. I think, it's obviously a better question for Doc and Mark.
Okay, that one I totally get the question to. It's a better question for Doc and Mark. What I heard was, yeah, I didn't quite get that one either.
Nobody did. I spent a lot of time talking about this, and we had a lot of listeners react to it, and you were doing the same thing. Wait, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
He's coming back to pitch in a couple of days. He's already pitched X amount of innings over his all-time record, 113, 117
way over.
Innings.
We're not talking way a handful over. Of innings, yeah.
Why would you, if you actually listen to Andrew Friedman, there were a couple other things that he said. He said that part of the job is to put the players in the best position to succeed. Mm-hmm. And that stuck out to me because I remember having the conversation the next day. You brought Julio in when you're up two runs, and it was a situation where your bullpen was already fantastic. They were playing. Your bullpen was carrying you through the postseason.
It was never one time the issue with that team.
So you brought your bullpen, or you didn't go to your bullpen. You brought Julio in. He looked gassed. He gave up two runs. You end up losing that game 5-4. You lost game two. Game two was big. You were about to walk.
Got a two-run lead in the eighth inning.
Back to Dodger Stadium, getting the split that you want. Atlanta just got the split against Houston. That's all you're asking for when you're on the road. On top of that, he was pitching game four.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that situation where we could kind of bang our head as much as we want against the wall and say, what were they thinking? It also goes another level for Andrew Friedman to say, that's not my call.
It's those guys.
I didn't make that
Ask
call.
Them. Ask those guys.
Here's an important question. When does Dave do his exit meeting?
Yeah, well,
because
it's
going to come up, and I just want to hear what Dave Roberts is going to say.
It's already come up. You're talking about the specific comments about Friedman, him saying? Oh, yeah, that's
going to come up.
That's different. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles and helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. So, let's continue that conversation. Let's talk about that, because it wasn't just that. It wasn't just the first time they made me go, oh, well, maybe there is a little bit of a disconnect between what we'd like to see and what actually was taking place. And then, of course, there are the free agent conversations, namely what happens to Clayton Kershaw. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.